Laudator Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Monday, July the 5th, Pope Francis is doing well after programmed surgery on Saturday afternoon. The Pope's appeal for dialogue and reconciliation in Eswatini comes amid pro-democracy rallies and calls for reform. And Cardinal Parolin is the papal envoy in Strasbourg, marking 1,300 years from the death of Saint Odile. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. According to doctors at Rome's Agostino Gemelli Hospital, Pope Francis is doing well after undergoing surgery on Sunday evening. He underwent a scheduled surgical procedure that was announced by the Holy See press office just hours after he left his Casa Santa Marta for the hospital following the Angelus prayer. Thaddeus Jones has the latest of this report.
Pope Francis is doing well after a three-hour operation to deal with a symptomatic diverticular stenosis of the colon. The 10-member surgical team performed what is called a hemicolectomy on the left side, basically a removal of part of the colon. The surgery had been planned earlier but announced only a short time before Pope Francis headed to the hospital. It was performed under general anesthesia by Italian gastroenterologist and surgeon Dr. Sergio Alfieri and his team of experts at Rome's Gemelli Hospital, which has cared also for previous popes down through the years. Dr. Alfieri is a member of the hospital's Department of Medical and Surgical Sciences and heads the Digestive Surgery Complex Operational Unit. He's specialized in general digestive colon rectal stomach and pancreatic surgery. Holy See Press Office Director Matteo Bruni issued a brief statement overnight, noting that Pope Francis reacted well to the surgery done under general anesthesia. At midday today, he issued a follow-up medical bulletin, noting that the Pope is doing well overall, alert and breathing on his own. He'll remain at the Gemelli Hospital for 7 more days for this recovery period, barring any complications. Earlier on Sunday, Pope Francis led the midday recitation of the Angelus with pilgrims gathered in St. Peter's Square. Later in the afternoon, he left the Casa Santa Marta for the procedure at Gemelli Hospital. I'm Thaddeus Jones.
And during that Angelus address, Pope Francis issued an appeal for dialogue and reconciliation in the southern African nation of Eswatini. For days, Eswatini, which is Africa's last absolute monarchy, has been rocked by the largest pro-democracy protests in years that have seen government forces crack down on mostly young demonstrators. Father Benedict Mayaki reports.
Thousands of protesters have taken to the streets in recent days in Eswatini in pro-democracy protests against the rule of Africa's last absolute monarch. Anger against King Mswati III, who has ruled the kingdom for more than 30 years, has been building over time. The rights groups accuse the royal family, including the king's 15 wives, of living lavishly amid the increasing poverty of the population. The protesters are also demanding democratic reforms in the landlocked nation, including lifting bans on opposition parties that have been outlawed since 1973. The wave of protests in the country has been most felt in Mbambane, the capital, and other large cities where protesters have barricaded roads and set fires, often at businesses allegedly owned or linked to the royal family. In a series of tweets last week, the Eswatini government said that Prime Minister Themba Masuku has assured the citizens and the international community that the protesters' concerns are being addressed and has further called for citizens to use alternative means to air their grievances. However, reports from activists have alleged a government crackdown with some protesters shot and others injured. The Eswatini government has also suspended schools and imposed a nightly curfew from 6 p.m. to 5 a.m. in a bid to quell the demonstrations. Civil rights group Amnesty International reported that at least 20 people were killed by state security forces and another 150 have been hospitalized for injuries, including gunshot wounds sustained from live ammunition fired by the police. Pope Francis has also prayed for the country. At the conclusion of the Angelus prayer on Sunday, the Pope highlighted the news of unrest and violence being reported. He called on the authorities and those aspiring for the future of the country to work together towards dialogue, reconciliation, and a peaceful settlement of differences. Separately, in a statement on Friday, Bishop José Luis Ponce de León of Manzini called for calm amid the pro-democracy protests. As a way forward, he encouraged dialogue that seeks to accommodate a variety of viewpoints in line with Pope Francis's Fratelli Tutti encyclical. Eswatini, a country formerly known as Swaziland until 2018, is a country in southern Africa bordered by Mozambique and South Africa. The country is undergoing struggles with economic difficulties, with a large population of its 1.3 million inhabitants living below the poverty line. I'm Father Benedict Mayaki.
In northern Ethiopia, the Tigray People's Liberation Front have accepted a unilateral ceasefire declared by the government of Addis Ababa, but posed strict conditions for it to be formalized. Nathan Morley has more.
Last week, the Tigray People's Liberation Front, which had been run out of the district by government forces back in 2020, returned to the regional capital Mekele in triumph. This moment marked a dramatic turn in events in Ethiopia and compounded an already shaky humanitarian situation. The government in Addis Ababa immediately declared a unilateral ceasefire, but until now this had not been mutually agreed. The TPLF are demanding that they be recognised as the government in Tigray, and they're calling for the distribution of aid and safe return of displaced people. The UN and numerous governments have called for a ceasefire to be respected to allow humanitarian aid to reach the civilian population. The UN currently estimates that 350,000 people face famine, whilst the US Agency for International Development says that number is nearer 900,000. The arrival of the TPLF in Mekele last week prompted opposition government-affiliated forces to halt a convoy of trucks laden with food aid. Reports at the time suggested they unloaded the food without it having reached its ultimate destination, but the WPF was able to restore food deliveries. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
More than 1,000 Afghan soldiers have reportedly fled to neighbouring Tajikistan after clashing with Taliban militants. Officials said the troops retreated over the border to save their lives. Violence has risen in Afghanistan, with the Taliban launching attacks and taking more territory in recent weeks. The surge coincides with the end of NATO's 20-year military mission in the country. The vast majority of remaining foreign forces in Afghanistan have been withdrawn ahead of a September deadline, and there are concerns that the Afghan military will collapse. Under a deal with the Taliban, the US and its NATO allies agreed to withdraw all troops in return for a commitment by the militants not to allow Al-Qaeda or any other extremist group to operate in the areas they control. And a new report released by UNICEF describes one of the dire consequences of the conflict in Yemen that it says is interrupting education. Issuing a warning that children who do not complete their education, the UN's Children's Fund said they risk up ending in a self-perpetrating cycle of poverty. As Francesca Merlo reports, if children who are not in school or those who have recently dropped out are not adequately supported, they may never re-enter.
According to a new report launched by UNICEF today, 6 years after the start of the devastating conflict in Yemen, children's education in the country has become a major casualty. Over 2 million school-age girls and boys are out of school due to poverty, conflict and lack of opportunities that compromise their education. This number is double the number of children that were not attending school in 2015 when the conflict began. The report, Education Disrupted, Impact of the Conflict on Children's Education in Yemen, analyzes the risks and challenges children face when they are out of school and the urgent actions needed to protect them. The report points out that when children are not in school, the consequences are dire, both for their present and their future. Girls are forced into early marriages, where they become trapped in a cycle of poverty and untapped potential. Boys and girls are most vulnerable to child labour or recruitment into combat. More than 3,600 children have been recruited in Yemen in the past 6 years. The combined effects of prolonged conflict and the latest attacks on education due to the COVID-19 pandemic will have devastating and lasting effects on the education and mental and physical well-being of children and adolescents in Yemen. In the report, UNICEF calls on stakeholders in Yemen to uphold children's rights to education and work together to achieve a lasting and comprehensive peace. This includes stopping attacks on schools, there have been 231 since March 2015, and ensuring that teachers receive regular salaries so that children can continue to learn and grow. It also asks international donors to support education programs with long-term donations. I am Francesca Merlo.
In Nigeria, police said gunmen have abducted at least 8 people from a hospital in the northwest of the country. The attack took place at the National Tuberculosis and Leprosy Center in Zaria early on Sunday morning. A hospital spokesman said 2 nurses and a 12-month-old child were amongst those seized. There has been a recent spate of abductions from schools and universities for ransom. On Monday, reports of another mass kidnapping from a school near Kaduna City also emerged. The mother of a 15-year-old girl who was kidnapped from Bethel Baptist School told journalists that 140 school children had been seized by a large group of armed men who arrived on motorbikes and broke down the fence. The police have not yet commented on the reports, but a local Christian leader said there were 180 students in the school, only 20 of whom had been accounted for so far. And in Miami, the remaining section of a partially collapsed apartment block has been demolished over safety fears as a tropical storm approaches Florida. On Sunday night, explosive charges were used to bring down the last standing part of Champlain Towers, which had been evacuated. On the 24th of June, part of the block suddenly collapsed. 24 people are known to have died and 121 are still missing. And finally, Vatican Secretary of State Cardinal Pietro Parolin is in Strasbourg, France, to mark the 1,300th death anniversary of local Saint Odile. He's also celebrating 90 years of the perpetual Eucharistic adoration at Mont-Saint-Odile. On May the 26th, Pope Francis had appointed Cardinal Parolin as his personal envoy to the July the 4th celebration. Robin Gomes tells us more.
The Archdiocese of Strasbourg, France, is marking the year-long great jubilee of the 1,300th death anniversary of Saint Odile from December 13, 2020 to December 13, 2021. Saint Odile, the daughter of Duke Adalric of Alsace, was born blind around the year 660. The girl was miraculously healed during her baptism at the age of 15. She then became a nun and founded a monastery at Hohenberg Castle on a hill which later took her name, Mont-Saint-Odile. The sanctuary has remained a well-known place of tourism and pilgrimage in Alsace. Saint Odile died in 720, 1,300 years ago. Saint Odile was canonized by Pope Leo IX in the 11th century. In his homily at Sunday Mass in Strasbourg Cathedral, Cardinal Parolin recalled the figure of Saint Odile, who is venerated in various regions of Europe, praising her shining example. Strasbourg is the official seat of the European Parliament. The Cardinal thus drew attention to the demographic winter that the continent of Europe is currently going through, which Pope Francis has already denounced as an emergency of our time. Europe needs hope if it wants the demographic winter to end, which is not primarily the result of an economic or social crisis, but of the weakening of hope and the authentic meaning of life and existence, the Cardinal said. He thus made a heartfelt appeal to Europe to welcome the weakest. He said that Europe needs to put the marginalized, the poor, and the excluded at the center of its concerns. During the Mass, Cardinal Parolin also consecrated Father Gilles Reithinger as bishop. Pope Francis on May the 26th appointed Father Reithinger as auxiliary bishop of Strasbourg. On Monday, the Vatican Secretary of State was scheduled to celebrate Mass at the Monastery of Mont-Saint-Odile for the young people of the Archdiocese on the occasion of the 90 years of perpetual Eucharistic adoration at the sanctuary. I am Robin Gomes.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. My thanks go to Vincenzo Proto in studio in the Vatican. I'm Linda Bordoni. Bye-bye.